Hi, this is Nigel Glockler from 6x6 and Saxon, and you're listening to Sonic Perspective. Yeah, bring it on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another interview of Sonic Perspectives. My guest today is Mr. Nigel Glockler from Saxon Asia GTR 6x6 and much more. Nigel, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, that's quite a history there in the introduction, right?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're here to promote one of these bands, you know, the debut album of 6x6. I was thinking of ways to describe it. And I think at the end of the day, it's a fun prog rock album, period. As simple as that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like people are calling it prog. Other people are calling it progressive. I don't really know. You know, it's just what it is just the three of us gelling together. And this is what comes out.
Right.
So, you know, call it what you like.
Yeah. Well, I was expecting it to sound a bit like Saga or Asia, maybe, but you guys quickly created your own identity on these 10 songs, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, originally, Ian and Robert began a collaboration, and then later you got involved.
Yeah.
Do you think the album would have turned out the same if you were there from the beginning of the sessions or not?
No, I think the thing was really that, I mean, they were sort of, they, you know, they did all the writing for this album together. Mm-hmm. So they're communicating together. So when sort of they contacted me to come over and do it, you know, they had the basic grooves and everything, but they wanted me to put my own flavor on things anyway.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's easier if there's less people, if they've got a vision, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think probably it would have turned out the same actually, because we've got we've got a lot of respect for each other.
Okay. Well, with Saxons, do you contribute a lot more to the harmonies and everything, or do you just do the beats? And
no, I mean, everyone in the band writes. You've got to excuse me. I've got a bit of a cold at the moment, so I've just got to...
Sure.
No, everyone in the band writes, you know. So everyone brings their part, you know, things they've written, and then we sort of sort through them all and see what we like and what we don't like, and that's what happens.
Okay. Okay. And with 6x6, did you guys record the album together or was it all done remotely?
Yeah, it was done. I think Ian did a lot of the guitars with Robert. Mm-hmm. Robert's got the studio. We did it at Robert's studio. And I flew over. And so I basically did it with Robert, but on my own, if you know what I mean, because they already had down.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we played around with them a little bit, you know.
Right, right. And I understand these songs were written through a period of time. They were not just done in one session, right? You let the songs mature over time, and it was about a year's worth of work, right?
That's right, yes. Because, I mean, you know, Ian was sending Robert lots of guitar pieces that he'd written and everything, and then Robert was listening to this, and because he's a great arranger, you know, and so he was putting all these things together, and then we might change something, you know, but it all started off with sort of bits and pieces being sent to each other.
Right. And Yearning to Fly was one of the first songs to be reviewed, and it shows the three of you guys playing together, I think in a studio somewhere.
Yeah, Robert.
And I like how positive and inspiring the lyrics are here.
Robert does write some great lyrics. He writes some very deep lyrics, but they're great. You know, he thinks a lot about lyrics when he's doing them.
Right. And I love the quote unquote fake ending on Save the Night. And it sounds to me like you're playing double bass on that ending. Is that the case or not?
Save the Night.
It's the last song.
Yeah. I think maybe towards the end I might be playing some. I can't, to be quite honest with you, we did the recording such a while back. I can't remember.
Fair enough.
Sometimes things like that I'll do if I feel in the moment that maybe that'll work, then I do it.
Right. Well, in any case, there are some really heavy riffs on that song and you shine on it as well. So, yeah, congrats. Yeah. And I really like China. It sounds a little bit modern and heavy. And it seems you're throwing the gauntlet to a whole country. Is that Robert's lyrics as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll wait and see what happens with that, won't we? I think.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious about the reaction when that comes out, but yeah.
I think the video comes out on August the 5th, I think.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So yeah. Yeah. I haven't even seen it myself yet, so it'll be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wait for the reaction too. That's going to cause a stir for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the songs on the album is called Live Forever, and it feels like almost like an interlude. It's a short song, I think just over a minute in length.
Yeah.
Acoustic guitar, piano, and voice. Yeah.
That's just Robert and Ian. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
When we do that live, that'll give me a little bit of a rest.
Well, I kind of feel like that one could be a evolve into a song with the whole band. Was that ever discussed or not really?
No, but I mean, yeah, that's an interesting thought. So maybe we'll look at that again, you know, for live. We could always extend, bring the whole, you know. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I'll mention that to them when I speak to them tomorrow.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, there's some amazing guitar moments on the album, pretty much on every song. Ian is Canada's best kept secret, in my opinion. He's absolutely on fire here. Right?
I totally agree with you there. Totally agree. You know, yeah. He was like, you know, when they contacted me via email, I mean, I'd kept in touch with Robert since the GTR days.
Right.
And, you know, he'd come to a couple of Saxon shows when we played up the West Coast in America. But, yes, him and Ian were emailing me saying, you're the guy. So I was like, okay, great, you know, cool. So, it's, you know, that was actually, I mean, literally there was nothing to think about. I almost flew straight over, you know, because I've known Ian for a while, you know, because Saxon and Saga have crossed paths on tour in Germany and places a lot of times. So,
okay, okay. Yeah, and well, with you, Robert, and Ian having three different backgrounds, it could potentially backfire in a band setting, but you guys made it work somehow, right?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll see what one thinks of it, you know, when the album comes out.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a positive reception because it just sounds phenomenal. And to me, totally unexpected, you know, to see something like this coming up in 2022. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know, it was great fun to make, you know, we get on great as friends and we have a lot of respect for each other and just the whole vibe within the band is just great and very positive.
Good to hear. And one thing I always liked from Motorhead to The Police, Rush and many other bands, it's the magic of the three-piece. I think it allows the instruments to be in the forefront. And in this case, I like how your drums are very prominent in the mix, right?
Yeah, that's down to Robert. That is, but, yeah. No, I think it's, you know, it does work. I mean, I'm, you know, working in a three piece is going to be very exciting because we, you know, we hope we can do it as a three piece live when we go out on tour. Yeah. And as you say, it gives a lot of space for the instruments. All I can say is I'm not practicing.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well. And you just mentioned the intention to tour. I mean, do you foresee any difficulties to reproduce the sound of this album in a live setting or not?
I don't think so. We'll just have to see. I mean, you know, there's going to be some, when we start, once we know when we're going to do some dates, there'll be some heavy rehearsing.
Okay. Okay.
We might have to change something. I don't know. I mean, or we may have to bring in a keyboard player for some parts or something, you know?
Okay. And you probably played the whole album live, maybe some bonus material too. And what else can we expect?
I mean, there's some tracks that, you know, we've got more tracks left that didn't go on the album.
Okay. Okay.
So there's tracks that are finished that didn't go on the album. And there's also some other tracks, you know, bits and pieces and things that we're sending in. I mean, I've been sending Robert and Ian some things that I've sort of written. So, you know, we'll see. We'll have enough for a 90-100-minute show, definitely.
Wow. Can I expect a prog version of Wheels of Steel or Dogs of War, maybe? Or?
Definitely not. you might get a little taster of an odd riff here, you know.
Okay. Okay, you good know, stuff.
A little Star riff somewhere or a little Saxon riff somewhere, but not a whole song, no.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. And I know you're no stranger to prog, having played with GTR and Asia, etc. But between the work with Saxon and 6x6, I'm guessing there's a substantial change in the way you play with each of those bands, right?
Yeah, I mean, I generally try to do it. I think for me, the most important thing in any song is the groove.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most, it doesn't matter what form of music you're taking. It could be the most technical stuff, but it's still got to groove.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's generally the way I approach my playing.
Right.
But when I was sort of like growing up and learning drums and everything, I mean, I was more, for instance, I've said this before, I was more of a sort of Bill Ward fan than a John Bonham fan.
Oh, okay.
Bill Ward was a bit more jazzy.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was listening to a lot of jazz fusion, like Billy Cobham and people like that, you know, just trying to improve myself.
Well, there's definitely more hi-hat than bass drums on 6x6, that's for sure, right? More subtlety. Yeah. Yeah. And if I can ask you one question about your tenure with Asia, could you have lasted longer in that band or?
No, I think it was, it was a great thing because they recorded the album I did with Asia. They did it in my hometown.
Mm.
And Jeff knew I lived there because I keep in touch with Jeff all the time.
Okay.
And him and John asked me to go and do it. So we went in and I did those tracks. I mean, there's some tracks that are on the Aqua album. And then they did two Archiver albums, which are like sort of samplers, I suppose you mean. Not samplers, that's the wrong word. But there's other tracks that weren't on Aqua that are on those that I did. So,
yeah. And in parallel with all of that and 6x6, Saxon is touring to promote the incredible Carpe Diem. How is the tour going so far?
Well, no, we're in the middle of festival season at the moment.
In Europe, right? Yeah.
In Europe, yeah. We're in festivals. Just got back, actually. We played in Slovakia, Hungary, and Austria. Slovakia and Austria we did with Judas Priest. And the gig in Hungary was our own gig. You know, they were great. We've been playing nearly every weekend.
Wow, yeah.
And another one, we've got one in Wales, the Steelhouse Festival, this coming Saturday. And then we have, I think it's about a 10-day break, and then we're playing in a big gig in Sweden, Gröna Lund.
Okay. Well, you guys are on quite a roll recently. Thunderbolt was great, and Carpe Diem was even better, if I may say so. Did you expect to be doing this at 69 years of age, or?
No. In one word, no. But, you know, I enjoy it, so we all enjoy doing it. I enjoy playing, you know, everything's fine, you know, physically with me and everything. So it's all cool,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
No problem at all.
Yeah. How does your wife feel about that? I mean, you're still touring, you're still away from home most of the year or?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been difficult. This festival season has been very difficult for her because, you know, I came over here, I think it was the beginning of May, I think, something like that. I've been here sort of staying at friends' houses and stuff because I live in America.
Right. Okay.
So I live in Dallas, and so it's been a bit of I almost feel a bit like a refugee at the moment. I'm sort of going between people's houses. So yeah, it is tough because by the time I get back, which I think is about the 16th or 17th of August, I've probably been away for about 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, and then we've got about a month and a half and then we start touring again.
Jesus.
She's very understanding. She loves music and everything. I think a lot of the time when I'm at home, her attitude is, oh, for God's sake, I've had enough of you here. Go out on tour. Just get on tour. Leave me in peace.
Right. So you got a good balance there going on. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to Saxon, there were surely some ups and downs in the history of the band. Can I ask you about the circumstances when you were part of the TV documentary a few years ago? What was that like?
Awful. they were trying to make us, Harvey Goldsmith was trying to make us out to be very small, little. He was belittling us, if you know what I mean. But Biff stood up to him and gave him some heavy artillery back, you know, which you know, but that's what the good thing about it was, though, that in a way, any publicity is good publicity. A lot of the older fans had sort of left and they weren't going to gigs anymore. You know, they're doing their other things and maybe not in so much into music. And this came on primetime television and they were like, what? They're still going. I'm going. So some audiences went woof. So it was great.
Yeah.
So it it achieved that, but it was very difficult.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I mean, it was a tough time for metal as a whole, not just for Saxon, right?
But yeah.
And you guys toured with Priest a few years ago, and you still do dates with them. And back in 2018, I asked Biff if there would ever be a tour with Saxon, Priest, and Iron Maiden. He was positive about it then. Is there any discussion, any chance of that, or?
Not with Iron Maiden, no.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. Possibly Priest, yeah, because we get on great. Both bands are great friends with each other. You know, we love what they do. They love what we do. There's no bullshit. Right. Everything's cool, you know. So, yeah, touring with them is great, you know. So we'll see what happens. Maybe something next year. We'll see.
Okay, good stuff. Well, the first time I saw Saxon, you weren't playing with them. You took a leave of absence due to health reasons. What was it like to come back to the band in 2005? How did you feel?
The first thing I played with them actually was in 2004.
Oh, okay.
But I got up and did two songs with them at Wacken in 2004. But I was like, it was strange, really, because I hadn't been in front of an audience for a long time. And suddenly getting in front of the Wacken audience, it's like, whoa.
Wow. You know? What a way to come back. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was great. It was, I mean, I think the break did me good anyway, because I was improving my drumming, you know, so the break mm-hmm. did me good. I was getting a bit stale, if you know, so yeah. I needed a bit spark to get me to try other things, and so it was a good break. But in the meantime, I started writing music for television.
Oh, okay. For any particular show or any particular show?
No particular shows. There, you know, there's just sort of background music for documentaries and things like that.
Okay.
And I was still writing with Saxon, so I was still writing with them and going up to, I mean, for instance, Killing Ground. I went into the rehearsal studio with them to write Killing Ground.
Oh, okay.
But I just wasn't touring.
Fair enough.
We'd always kept in touch, so, you know.
Say again?
Yeah. We were always in touch with each other all the time.
Okay. And back to 6x6, how soon can we hear about tour dates?
Well, I think we're, funnily enough, I think we've got we're having a Zoom call tomorrow, the three of us. Oh, okay. Plus us. So, maybe that'll come up, but I think we're talking about maybe the second quarter of 23, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe the third quarter. We've got to see, because obviously we've got to work around Saxon's schedule.
Yeah.
And Saga's schedule.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll say, no, we'll do something. You know, I keep saying we're coming, so wait for it, you know.
Right. Fair enough. Well, before I let you go, you've had such a rich career, and probably you have some crazy stories to tell about this business, right? Would you be interested in writing a biography at some point, or not really?
No. I've already been asked about that, actually. What was funny, because there's a guy called Spike Webb. Mm. His name is Webb. And he rang me up. This is this was 20-odd years ago. And he rang me up. He wrote a book called Mad, Bad, and Dangerous, which is about drummers. So it's all things that have happened to drummers, you know, like accidents or whatever. It's great. It's a great read, actually. You can get it on Amazon, I think. And he suddenly contacted me out of, you know, surprise, out of the blue. And he said, my publisher would ask if I could do a whole biography on you. And he would ghostwrite it with me. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I'm sorry, Spike, because I tell you, because I feel a lot of people want dirt.
Yeah, that's fair.
The members of the band or with women or whatever, that's all they want. We call it salacious. They just want salacious stuff. That's what they, and I'm not prepared to, you know, sort of go down that road, because, you know, I think that stuff's private.
Absolutely. So,
No.
Taking the high road for sure.
I just thought, you know, I thought it to be respectful to these people that have been in my life throughout the years, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Whether good or bad, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, Nigel, thank you so much for the interview. I look forward to hearing about the dates of 6x6. Other than that, I'll catch you with Saxon on the road.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, anyway.
Thank you so much, Nigel.
Anytime. If you ever want anything else, just let me know.
Will do. Thank you so much, man.
Okay. You take care.
Bye. Bye.